Remain standing and take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, just reach down and grab your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, try to look on with someone. It's always good to look to see the Word of God itself, to look to see just exactly what it says, that it's not a preacher or a man behind a pulpit. And I sure love Olive Baptist Church. Do you love Olive Baptist Church?
Amen.
Amen. Have watched this church for years and years. I pastored back in the late 80s over in Fort Walton Beach at Cinco Baptist Church. And when your pastor was Dr. Jerry Passmore, I came over and visited with him quite often just to see what you were doing in evangelism. I always admired this church involved in CWT and other methods. And we were involved in doing a lot of wonderful things there. And so from the time I was here, and we were over in the Passmore auditorium at that time, watching what God has done over the years. And then when Dr. Ted Traylor came, I started praying for you. And I'm still praying for you. And God's not hearing my prayers. No, I tell you what, you have one of the finest in the country in Dr. Ted Traylor. Amen? You do. I tell you, there's just none better. I love him to death. I love his passion, his energy. And just to watch and see what he does, not only in this church, in this community, in the Jerusalem that you have here responsibility for, but as God just continually opens door after door. In the area of evangelism that I've been in, and I've had opportunity of serving as director of evangelism for the convention here, it opens the door for me to go and speak in other state conventions and other evangelism conferences. And I'm always recommending Dr. Ted Traylor, because I know when he comes to the pulpit and he shares, it's going to be passion, it's going to be real from his heart. And you get that every Sunday from here. And I'm honored that he would ask me to come and preach this morning on the topics of sharing Christ, the message of Christ, and one of your core values. And I really admire a church who has the values that you have. And this morning is going to be a very special and unique morning, I pray, as we really focus in on the time of invitation right now, just beginning to think, what kind of commitment am I as an individual? And I'm saying this to myself as well. What type of commitment is David Burton going to make this morning, afresh and anew to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? See, Jesus died for me. I must live for him. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he had you on his mind. There's no doubt about it. Every drop of blood that was shed for you and I. And this morning, as we think about what am I going to do to share the message of Christ, what is my responsibility as an individual? And that's where it starts, as an individual, not so much a church body. Matter of fact, we're in the church house, but you individually are the church. Amen? You're the church. I'm not looking at the church as such. I'm looking at the body of Christ, and you are the church yourself. We used to say to our kids, we're not going to church, we're going to the church house. Because the church is within us, and we're the church, and we're to be the light. What a great song John and the choir and orchestra led us in just a moment ago. Christ is the light of the world. In Acts, we find a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John have just experienced Pentecost. 3,000 some odd people have been born again at Pentecost. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity to watch and see God move in a very miraculous, spiritual, inspirational way in Acts chapter 2. And Peter and John have been living on this wave now for several hours, and they head off to the temple. And in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. And it was the hour of prayer, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon." Verse 2, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask for alms." He would ask for alms, and he begged of them as people entered into the temple. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look unto us.' And the crippled man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Amen? What a command. What a challenge. "And he took him by the right hand." Peter reached down and took that little crippled man by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, say the word immediately. How quick is immediately? Yeah, immediately. That's pretty good. Defines itself, doesn't it? "And immediately The cripple's man, feet and ankle bones, received strength. And he leaped up, and he stood up, and he walked, and he entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What if somebody came busting through the back doors this morning just hooping and hollering and jumping? Some of you would probably be offended. And some of us would be real excited when we heard them talking about Jesus. But that's what happened. This man went busting into the temple, leaping and walking and praising God. And he was sharing with all the people what had happened. It says in verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And this morning, we're going to see God do some miraculous things. We're kind of crippled, you might say, sometimes because of the sin that enters into our life. But God's going to give us some extra strength. He's going to give us some extra insight today of how to renew our strength and to loosen up from all the crippledness that we're in order that we might share the good news of Christ with those in our Jerusalem. Now, I want you to pray with me. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to draw a circle around yourself. I want you to get into that circle right there where you stand. If you're seated, draw a circle right there in that seat. Sit down. If you're listening by radio, wherever you might be right now, driving in an automobile, you draw a circle around. Don't close your eyes. You keep driving. Draw a circle around yourself, though. You're watching by television. You're standing. You're seated. You draw a circle. You get in that circle right now. And by divine appointment, we are gathered in this building, or we're listening by radio, we're watching by TV. We are by divine appointment, inspiration, a timing in history, hearing God's word. And right there in that circle, just say to God, God, here I am. It's just me. And you just ask him right there on your own to touch your heart, to speak to you, to fill you with understanding today, and he'll hear your prayer. Just ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask him to help you listen and hear today like never before. Ask him as a Christian to fill you with his Holy Spirit, that when you walk out of here, just as we sang about the Spirit a while ago, we will be exuberant, we will be blessed, we'll be filled, we'll be bold in speaking for him. Ask him, say, God, I need to understand how to better share my faith today. Just ask him that. I want to better understand. Fill me when I walk out of this place today. And those that have never trusted Christ, you know who you are in that circle right now. He's going to speak to you, and I pray that you'll respond to him and his call in your life to save you, to change you, for you to be born again today. That's my prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful day it is outside. You've blessed us, and you've allowed us to come together on a very special weekend, holiday weekend. I pray, God, that you will help us today to hear your word and then to apply your word to walk out of this place ready to do what you have called and commanded us to do. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it's kind of neat to see where Pentecost has happened, and Peter and John have made their way to this temple area, and as they're walking in, there's this little crippled man that had been crippled from his mother's womb. Somewhere 40, 45 years of age, this man, those years he had sat there and he'd held his hands out, probably gnarled up. He may have had some kind of little cloth to catch the alms that people might drop into there. You see people on the street corners now here in Pensacola, you'll see them down here at the lights, coming off the interstate, going up on the interstate, all over town, you'll see people standing there asking for help. The same thing was here. People that had gone in and out of that temple area had seen this man for years and years and years, and they knew about the history of this little man. Pentecost had happened. Peter and John are all excited. 3,000 new believers. I mean, there had been revival to hit the town. And so they're going to the temple to worship, and they're entering in to worship. And that afternoon when they passed by this little crippled man, they heard out of the side of their face, their ear, and maybe the corner of their eye, they saw him. He was asking for alms, 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 and he said it loud enough to get their attention. And they may have been kind of wanting to ignore him. I know none of us have ever done that, but I've been walking up and down the streets before, and there'll be someone sitting on the corner or maybe up in a little indention sidewalk area going into a place of business, and they'll be asking for money or food or something. I'll sometimes just kind of ignore them. And I remember walking with a college student up in Nashville, Tennessee some years ago. I was up there visiting with him, and we were walking down the street. Sure enough, there was a little man there, and we both kept talking, and I could read his mind like he was reading mine. Let's just keep talking to each other, looking to each other, and we'll just ignore that little man there. And sure enough, we did, and we walked about 15, 20 feet, and boy, God just got all over my heart and said, David Burton, you go back and you speak to him. And we turned around and went back to where he was, stuck our hand down, didn't want to shake his hand, a little old dirty, nasty hand, no telling when he had shaken it and where all that hand had been and how nasty he was and smelly, I tell you. We shook his hand, we began to talk to him. I reached into my pocket, and I've always got these little tracks. Brother Stan was talking about these little tracks. I loved what happened in here during that event. We dropped 4,000 or 5,000 of these little cards down, and they just flittered down. It took a minute or so for them all to fall down. Matter of fact, when you leave today, all of you are going to get some of these little tracks, all right? The ushers will be at the back door, and you'll have a little gospel track. These are little life-death cards, and you've seen them. You've used them for years and years and years. It says the wages of sin is death, and then you flip it over, and it says the gift of God is eternal life. So death and life. It's just by perspective, the way you look at this card as to what it says. And then on the back, there's a real simple gospel plan of salvation. The Roman road is on the back of the card. And then there's a phone number there you can call for spiritual help. So these little cards were in my pocket. And as we walked by that little man and were talking, and God prompted me and really convicted me to go back, we shook his hand. I reached in my pocket. I grabbed one of those little cards. And I said, sir, have you ever seen one of these little cards? He said, no, I haven't. And I began to flip it back and forth, and I remember his little head just going back and forth, as so many people's heads go back and forth. I'll go through a drive-thru window at a McDonald's or a Taco Bell or a Wendy's or Chick-fil-A, you know, and I'll the first window, they're there to take your money. They'll always get your money right off the bat. They're going to get your money whether you get your food or not. And they'll get your money. I'll get my change back or my receipt, and I'll always have on the dash of my car or in my pocket one of these gospel tracts, and I'll reach out and say, hey, I want to give you a gift. Now, we're getting pretty close to Halloween here in, what, less than 2 months from now, Halloween. So I'll say, let me give you your Halloween card. It even looks like a Halloween card. But if it's around 4th of July, I'll say, hey, let me give you your 4th of July card. You know, it doesn't matter. It's always a seasonal card. And so I'll say, let me give you one of these little cards, and I'll say, have you ever seen that? And they'll sit there in their head and go back and forth like that, and I'll say, here, take one. And if there's two or three in the background back there, I'll grab some more, and I'll say, here, give them to some of your friends there. I'll always leave tracks in my tracks wherever I go. Always leaving tracks in my tracks everywhere I go, through the drive-thru windows. Or if I'm at the counter of the McDonald's, I'll do the same thing. I'll get to the second window of that drive-thru, you know, and they'll give me my bag of food, and I'll always reach up on the dash, and I'll say, here, let me give you one of my cards. Have you ever seen one of these little cards, these Halloween cards, or this 4th of July card, or this Mother's Day card, or whatever season it is? And they'll take that card. I remember doing that to the little man on the street. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I may not always be able to go through the gospel plan of salvation with someone. I may not always be able to find the time or have the time to go through 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of sharing with someone how to be born again. But I can always leave a gospel track behind. And when you leave today, you'll get a gospel track. And as you go out to eat today, or you go to buy gas today, or tomorrow at work, or some of you students at school tomorrow, you'll be able to. And by the way, all you students that are in here, aren't you glad school has started? I tell you what, I am writing materials now on student legal rights. I'm so pumped about high school and middle school students and the boldness that I'm seeing in so many of them as they pass out gospel tracts on the campus, as they wear their Christian t-shirts. Let me tell you what, the largest mission field in America is on the secondary school campuses. And we need to pray for our students. Pray for our Christian teachers in the schools to be bold. But wherever you might be tomorrow, this week, you can be passing out these little cards. And remember, you may not be able to verbally say boldly or verbally say much to the person you're handing the card to, but on the back is the Word of God. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Come on, help me out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by David Burton, not by Ted Traylor, not by you, but by the Word of God. Now, we can verbally talk to folks about the gospel, and that's all good, and we want to do that, and you're learning how to do that more and more here in this church. But there's just something special about giving the Word of God. As we sat there and talked to this little man and gave him a little bit of money to help him along the way, he did pray with us. We could have walked by We could have ignored him. Peter and John could have walked by and ignored that little man. But they went back to him, and he was saying, "Have you got some money? Have you got some money?" Now, he's on early, no dirty, nasty cotton. His legs are all gnarled up, and his arms are gnarled up, and he's asking for money. And Peter and John look at him, and they had seen him also as they went in and out of the temple, as thousands of others would walk by him. And that day, that little man didn't have any idea what was about to happen. But his life was about to be changed forever. And they looked down at the little man, and Peter spoke to him and said, "Well, sir, silver and gold, I'm a Baptist. I don't have any money." Okay? You know? He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have," listen to me, are you listening? Say, "I'm listening." He said, "What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen? Whoo, I get chill bumps all over me. And I get goosebumps. A little lady told me one day, I said, "Man, I got chill bumps." She said, "No, Brother David, you got God bumps." So I got God bumps all over me just thinking about that. He looked down at the little crippled man and he said, "Sir, I don't have any money with me, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." Now, I think some conversation had gone on. Obviously, Peter and John had talked to that little man. I believe they had shared the gospel with them the best they could, and there was a lot of noise and people walking by and bumping into him and all, and maybe laughing at him for over there talking to this little man. But Peter, somewhere or another, communicated to that little man, "If you have faith today, if you really believe today, I promise you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the very one that they crucified, He is the one that can heal you. He is the one that can change you. He is the one that can save you forever. Would you be willing to let him do that for you today?" And that little man had to some way or another communicate to John and Peter, "I'm ready, yes." And Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up." And the Bible says that little man's legs began to get strong and straight, and his arms straightened out and his hands straightened out. And he began to praise the Lord. He began to say, "I've been healed, I've been touched, I've been changed." And he began to jump. I can see him grab a hold of old Peter, you know, "Oh boy, here they go, up and down." Peter's going, I mean, he's having a, he is so excited. His life. Listen, that man had never walked before. He didn't have to practice. Now, I just did something I hadn't done in about 5 months. I just jumped on my leg and I just realized that, Stan. I had knee surgery a few months back and I'm now feeling it. That man was experiencing life like he had never experienced it before. There are people in Escambia County who are waiting for you to speak to them the gospel truth of a changed life. That little man went running into the temple, came running down the aisles. It says he was leaping and jumping and yelling out. And all the people in there knew who he was. He was the little man that was out there, day after day after day, that had been healed. What a great testimony. Well, Peter and John got in trouble for that. The authorities, all the religious leaders and all began to talk to him. They confronted him. The story goes on. They continued to preach. They got thrown into jail. And right before they were thrown into jail, they were out on the street preaching, preaching, preaching. It says 5,000 got saved over in chapter 4 there. It says in verse 4, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. There were 5,000 men that were saved. 5,000. 3,000 just a few hours earlier, we may say. God was moving miraculously, but it was because of the obedience of some believers to speak the word. Now, you and I may walk out of here today and we're not going to necessarily see 3,000 or 5,000 saved. But do you know what? In Escambia County, I looked it up this morning, the population of Escambia County, I think I've got it here, is right at 306,000 people. In Sarasota County, just over here east of you a little bit, 161,000. You got close to 500,000 people within a rock's throw of Olive Baptist Church. Now, I know that all of us in here today, and then several thousand will come in this next hour in here, we can't reach the whole county by ourselves. But I tell you what, we could reach a lot of it. Olive Baptist Church has the potential to absolutely set the woods on fire here in Escambia County. Amen? You just take the number of people in this room alone. If we would just be committed and walk out of here today saying, Lord, I don't know all the things to say and do. I've never been through this evangelism training stuff, but I got this little orange card. Help me to share this little orange card with somebody, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Others of you have had training and you have boldness and you're ready to go and you could walk out of here and you could verbally share with someone very crystal clear how they too could come to know Christ. Some of you could take your Bible that's marked with the Roman road or other scriptures and you could walk down through that Roman road. Some of you could take another gospel track, maybe you've used Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham, Eternal Life track. You could go, maybe you're using the Life's Conversation Guide, the Life Conversation Guide track, drawing the three circles. You could walk out of here and verbally talk to folks about Jesus. Are you doing it though? Are you doing it? See, so many of us in this room, listen to me, so many of us in this room know how to talk about Jesus. It's kind of quiet. Many of us do. Do we not? We do. We do. Matter of fact, if you've never had any kind of training in your life, you can still go tell other people about Jesus. When you got saved, when Jesus stepped out of heaven and stepped into your heart, he changed you. He washed all of your sins away, right? You became, Scripture says, Paul says, you became a new creature, a new creation. He also said, all the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Your life has been changed. And your testimony of how it was before you met Christ, when you met Christ, what it's been like since Christ is all the outline you need. Before, when you met Christ, what it's been like after Christ. And as you talk to your friend, you talk to your neighbor, you talk to a work associate, you talk to a school buddy, you talk to a golfing buddy, you talk to a fishing buddy, and you just begin to tell him what Jesus has done in your life, I guarantee he's going to go, I want some of that. I want what changed your life. Bill, I've been looking at your life. Sir, I've been watching you and how you've handled that terrible situation in your life. I want this Jesus in your life. And I guarantee you, there are people that are waiting. They're sitting on the edge of their seat at work, at home, at school, at play, across the gas pump from you where you're pumping gas and they're pumping gas. There's someone that's a captive audience to talk to. Amen? I love to pull into a gas station and I look for someone already pumping gas or someone that's driving up about the same time as I am, and I try to get over to them because I know they're there for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes pumping gas. They're a captive audience. They're not going anywhere. They're afraid I'll steal their car. They're there. So I try to get into a conversation. I always reach in my pocket or on the dash, and I'll get one of these little cards, and while I'm pumping and they're pumping, I'll look around, or I'll just stop mine. If I can't see them, I'll stop mine, look around, and talk about, you know, it's a beautiful day, or did your team win yesterday, or whatever, and then I'll say, have you ever seen one of these? And I'll do that, and they'll look like this. And I tell you what, every time they'll either, poof, they'll stop their gas and walk over and get it, or they'll continue and they'll reach out and take it. I've never had anybody to cuss me out at a gas pump for giving them an orange card. I've not had anybody ever pull a knife on me or a gun at me when I was handing one of these out at a restaurant. I've never had a waitress or a waiter to get just upset at me, cuss me. Every time they'll say thank you. The Word. But I love to be able to verbally tell people about Jesus. I love not just to give out a gospel tract. That's good. We need to do that. But we need to pray, God, remember we were in that circle a while ago? My prayer for you as you were praying was, God, help the person in that circle right now. Not only want to give out a gospel tract or just say, God bless you or Jesus loves you, but God, help all of us. Listen, I don't know, stand up. How many of you think are in here today? Give me a wild guess. How many are in here right now? 1,500, 1,500 people in here right now. And then there'll be another wave of radicals that'll come in here the next hour, amen? If 1,500 of us, listen to this. Ooh, are you listening? Say, I'm listening. If 1,500 of us marched out of here today like the army of God we are, amen? We're an army. We're an army. God is one. Greater is he that's in me and you than he that is in the world. Amen? The devil can't beat you. You've already beat him. He reminds you of what's going on right now, and he reminds you of your past. You just remind him of his future. You have won. 1,500 of us, plus the other 1,500 or whatever that come in here. And then all 10,000 of us that are here today march out of here. Some of you will get that in a minute. We're going to see people by the droves that are lost. Most of the people outside of this room are lost without Jesus. Most of us in this room are saved. We're born again. We're child of the King. We have a message to share. And the great commandment is not a suggestion. It is a commandment that we go out of here and talk about Jesus. Amen? And you can do it. You can do it. Ma'am, you can do it. Oh, Brother David, I've never done anything like that in my life. And some of you guys are going, well, preacher, that's what we pay all you boys to do. That's what we pay that preacher Ted to do. No, you don't pay Pastor Ted to do that. Hey, listen, Pastor Ted will do it, and staff will do it, and Sunday school teachers do it. But you don't pay Pastor Ted to do it. You know what? And listen, you know what he is to really be doing? Scripture says over in Ephesians, he is to equip the saints for the what? Work of the ministry. There's no way Pastor Ted can be where all 1,500 of us are going to be this afternoon and tomorrow. There's no way he's going to go to the same gas pump. There's no way he's going to go to the same grocery store tomorrow. There's no way he's going to go to the same Publix where you're going to be. There's no way he's going to go to the same beautician you go to. I hope he doesn't go to that beautician you go to. And he may go to a beautician, you know. I mean, these ladies can cut hair real well, too. He won't go to the same barber you go to. He won't go in the same Ace Hardware store you go into. He won't go to the same wherever you eat, restaurant. He's not going to be there, but you're there, amen? You're there. You're seeing little crippled people everywhere you go, and they're going, help me, give me an answer. Help me. Every waiter or waitress that comes to your table, many of them will not know Christ as their Savior. And if they don't know Christ and they come to your table, they may not look down at you while you're eating your food. They may be very thankful to you when you say, is there anything, Sarah, that I can pray for you about? We're getting ready to thank God for our meal here. Can we pray for you about anything, Sarah? And Sarah shares that prayer request, and she goes off, and you bow your head, and you pray for Sarah and ask God to bless that food and all. She's not going to come back over to that table and more than likely say, look, I need this man named Jesus. Would you help me? Now, that may happen and has happened before. But chances are that won't happen. But what you and I are to do, we're to speak into their life. Somewhere in that time of conversation of 30, 40 minutes, I'm to speak into Sarah's life. And at the end, say, Sarah, you've done an awesome job. I'm going to give you a tip. I'm going to give you a good tip, Sarah. Amen. I'm going to give you a good tip, but I'm going to give you the best tip, and it's on this little gospel track. And whether it's this one or something else, it doesn't matter. I'm going to give you a little card that has something about Jesus that can change your life, Sarah, and take you farther than anything I've already talked to you about. I want you to take it home. I want you to read it when you get home. No telling how many Sarahs have gone home and read those little gospel tracks, and their life's been changed forever. Amen? People are out there. They're everywhere. Some of you were standing in that circle. Now you're sitting in that circle right where you are. What are you going to do with Jesus when you leave here today? You're just going to come in and kind of yawn at what Brother David has said and say, well, that's just for somebody else to do. If that is truth way down deep, 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 deep in your heart, you may not know Jesus as your Savior. Because, see, when you know Jesus, listen to me, I love you with all my heart. I don't know many of you. But if down deep in your heart you know Jesus, you want to share Jesus with others. You can't be saved and not have that want to talk to others. Now, you may not be doing it, but that's why you come to a church like this. You can get involved in a class or classes somewhere or another. You can listen to the message here, and you are being trained. You are being fed the word of how to tell your story. And I know you want to tell your story if you're saved. And listen, it may not be glossy, and you may not have a testimony. I can remember a brother by the name of Ben Wilkes years ago, went to college with Ben. Ben got saved at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, where I was in college. Ben was a drug addict, a sex addict, a pornography addict, you name it. He was an addict. He was into it. And he came to Union and he got saved. It was a Baptist campus and his life was changed forever. And Ben had the long hair and the bell bottoms. It was during the Jesus movement. But his life was just radically changed. And he all of a sudden started being asked to go to churches all over West Tennessee to share his testimony. And Ben was going here and going there and going to some other states, sharing his testimony. And here I am, David Burton, grew up First Baptist Church, Tiptonville, Tennessee. Got saved when I was 9 years of age, called to preach when I was 17, a good young man, didn't get into drugs and sex and alcohol and pornography, going to church, serving on a church staff at that time, and I won being asked to go do squat. And I got a little upset, and I said, God, I said, I wish I had a testimony like Ben Wilkes. Man, he had life change. He was into all this mess, and then God radically, wonderfully saved him. And now he's being asked to go everywhere to talk about this great testimony and this great God. And God looked at me and said, David Burton, you better be glad you don't have a testimony like Ben Wilkes. Because Ben, till the day he died a few years ago, had scars and hurts and memories that David Burton never had. But I'm so thankful Ben got saved. Amen. But I'm glad that God rattled my case. See, some of you think, well, if I just had his education, if I had her personality, if I'd gone to school like he went to school, if I had all these classes underneath my belt, I would be able to do that. No, listen, God wants you just like you are. He wants your mild, timid spirit to speak into lives. He wants your bold, aggressive style of sharing Christ to speak into people's lives, just like Peter and John spoke into that crippled man's life. And you can do it. I want to close by sharing a picture with you. I want you to go over now to something else Paul wrote. Go over with me to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Check it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul tells us when we get saved, we're a brand new creature, we're changed. When Peter and John came into the lifestyle of Jesus' lifestyle and were touched by his life and changed forever. Just as Peter and John were, Paul was the same. Paul had this radical background, and you know his life was changed forever. He reminds us as believers of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Watch this. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now watch what Paul says there in verse 3. But if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. Say the word lost. Lost. Say it again. Say it real loud. Lost. Turn to your neighbor and say, most people are lost. Most people in Escambia County are lost. Most students in the school system here, which is over 40,000 students in your school system here, 5,000 plus teachers in your school system, most of those are lost. Most of the people where you work are lost. Most of the people that you work with, most of the people you go to school with, most of the people you buy groceries with in that grocery store, they're lost. Most of the people up and down the streets where you live, most of the people between now and the time you get home today that you'll see in their cars and automobiles are lost. They're lost. The Bible says broad is the way, and many they are, that are on that road that leads to destruction, but few there are, and narrow. Few there are, and narrow is that way that leads to glory. Most people say no to Jesus. Most people are lost today because they haven't even heard the gospel. Because we've become zip-lipped and we don't share with the lost people. Most of the people listening by radio, most of the people watching television today don't know Christ. Most of the people are lost. You say, well, now, preacher, you're kind of judgmental. There's a whole lot of people in churches today. I challenge you. There are a lot of people in churches today. You just take Escambia County. You take the population, what did I say it was, 360-something thousand? Tomorrow morning you get up and you call every church in this county. Assembly of God, Presbyterian, Catholic, Baptist. You call them all and say, we're doing a survey. I'd like to know how many people were in worship with you yesterday. And let them tell you. Now, just because somebody's in worship doesn't mean they're saved. But I think you get the illustration here. You'll write down 100, 150, 1,000, 250, 1,400. You'll write down all these numbers, and you'll come up with several thousand, but then you compare it to 360,000, and your mouth will go, most of the people are lost and dying and going to hell. But you and I are walking by those little crippled people. You see, those little crippled people are blinded by the little g God. Look at verse 4. In whom, talking about lost people, in whom the little g God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan is the little g God. Are you with me? Out in the margin, you ought to put Satan. You ought to circle that little g God. Reason it's a little g is because Satan is a little g God. Amen? He'd like to be a big g God. That's the reason he's a little g God. You need to remind him today that God Almighty is your Father. God is your sovereign captain. He is the one that has saved you and changed you. And you make the little g God today know he is still a little g God. But that little g God has blinded the minds of them that are lost before you and I got saved. And I want you to just go back in your mind. Do you remember before you got saved? Go back. Go back. Go back to when you were lost. Go back to when you didn't know Christ. I'm not talking about joining the church, being baptized. I mean, when did you really meet Christ? Can you find that time in history when you really met Christ? Can you go back to that time? If you can go back to that time in history when Jesus stepped out of heaven into your heart, washed your sins away, cleansed you, made you brand new. Listen, you experienced a life change. Jesus entered into you, and God now wants to speak through you. Luke 12:12 is an awesome, awesome verse that makes this little g God mad. See, the little g God has blinded the minds of those that are lost. All these crippled people all around, they're lost without Christ. And that little g God hates for me to share what I'm about to share with you. Luke 12:12. Turn to somebody and say, Luke 12:12. Turn to somebody else and say, Luke 12:12. Luke 12:12 says this: God the Holy Spirit will put in your mouth at the very hour the word you're to speak. Amen? One of your core values is to preach the message of Christ. God didn't ask us to do that. He didn't say, well, when you feel like doing it, do it. He said, go do it. Amen? And we can walk out of here. We can do it because God has commanded us to do it. He has filled us to do it. He's given us the desire to do it. And there are people out here everywhere that do not know him. Satan, the little g God, has blinded the minds of those that are lost. And unless, it says in verse 4 there, unless the glorious gospel light should shine upon them, they will remain lost. You don't want your friend to die and go to hell. You don't want your best fishing buddy to die and go to hell, do you? No, you don't. You keep hoping somebody will go by and visit them. You hope the preacher will finally go by and visit them. Listen, you are the light. The scripture says, look at the last part of verse 4, in whom the image of God should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Watch this. For God who commanded the light. You remember that we sang the song a while ago about the light. We are the light. For God who commanded, verse 6, the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the light within us. He says we are to shine that light into the darkness. Amen? He says right there, the light is to shine into the darkness. And unless that light shines into the darkness of a lost man's heart, he'll remain lost. That young girl will remain lost. That granddaughter will remain lost. That employer will remain lost. God wants the mighty army in this room right now, and those listening and watching, he wants the mighty army of God to shine in the midst of the darkness. When you got saved, God lit your light. Amen? You have a light in you as a believer that's burning right now. You have a light. You have a light. Everybody hold a little finger up like that. Hold a finger up like a pointer finger. Just hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Come on. All right, class. Everybody participate. Good. A light. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never invited him to step out of heaven into your life. You've never invited him to save you. You don't have a gospel light shining in you. But you're holding your hand up because I want you to have a light to enter your life this morning named Jesus. The scripture says, the light of the believer, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus should shine into the light life of a lost person, they'll remain lost. All of us here with our light need to shine. Keep it up. Every one of our lights will walk out of here, and your light, no matter where you go today, your light will beat darkness. Some of you will go into a dark place of work tomorrow. Some of you students will get on the college campus in a very dark class tomorrow. But your light is shining. Now watch this. Your light beats darkness every time. No matter how dark the situation, your light will beat darkness. If we turned all the lights out in here, all the LED lights, we get the exit lights off, everything off, it'd be pitch black in here. You could just light a little candle or strike a match and poof, all of a sudden you and I, from all over this, we could see that light. That light would beat the darkness. There's no amount of darkness that could push. Keep your light up. There's no amount of darkness that could push and blow that light out. Listen to me. Your light. Somebody's sitting there going, okay, when's he going to get through this? Listen. Christian, your light beats darkness every time. You have the power of God within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you. And wherever you go, as tough as it may be, to open your mouth and speak to him about the light within you, remember, the Holy Spirit will put in your mouth, Luke 12:12, at that very moment, the words you're to speak. Let your light so shine among men. Amen. Preacher read a while ago scripture about the light. Let it shine. The devil, little song says, won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let, listen, the devil can't blow your light out. It's lit forever. And you have a light to shine. Do you know somebody lost? You know somebody that needs to see that light and hear about that light? I want every head bowed and every eye closed right now. All over this auditorium, just every head bowed, every eye closed. I mean, just say, God, here I am. There are lights all over this room. Gospel lights. God wants your light to so shine tomorrow and this afternoon. He wants your light to shine. Listen, unless the glorious gospel light should shine into their life, they will remain lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. People will not be saved by osmosis. People don't just all of a sudden get saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of your core values is to spread the message of Christ. And you can't just depend on a radio program. You can't just depend on a television program. You can't just depend on hoping they'll come to the church and hear Pastor Ted preach to them. You can't just depend on hoping they'll come to Sunday school with you one day and they'll listen to the Sunday school teacher teach. Oh, listen, most people will not darken the doors of the church house. Lost. That's why God said go. We're to go. Oh, and it's wonderful to go. And I thank God that he allows us to go. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And there are some of you that are so ready to go. You're so ready to make the devil mad. There are some couples who have been talking about being a brighter light. You've been talking about some couples you want to invite over your house, and you want to invest in them, and you want to invite them into the kingdom of God. Oh, listen, today, right where you are, or in a moment, I'm going to ask maybe this altar just all of a sudden have people coming from all over this building to kneel and say, oh God, I want my light to shine. I want one of the core values of this church to be so real in my life, and that's sharing the message of Christ. God, help me. And I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask deacons to come. I'm going to ask Sunday school teachers to come. I'm going to ask dads to be the spiritual leader. Grab your wife by the hand. Find your kids. Bring them to this altar. Stand, kneel, and say, oh God, here we are. Pray together. I'm going to ask the staff to come and stand right here, right now, at this altar area. Even as I pray, you may want to come right now. From upstairs, you might just want to come and just make a fresh new commitment. Deacons, I pray you'll step out and come. Lead the way. Leaders of this church, come. Daddies, come. If you're here this morning, though, and you do not know Christ as your Savior, would you meet Him today? Would you let Him light your light? Oh, let Him light your light today. The Bible says if you'll just accept Him and admit that you're lost today. There's somebody here, you've never trusted Christ. You've never admitted you're lost, but you're here by divine appointment. Just say, I know I'm lost. B, would you just believe that Jesus is who He says He is? Some of you have been talking to friends, and you've got a friend here, and you know he's never trusted Christ. Pray like everything right now. Pray for him. Pray for her to be saved today. You're here, though, and you don't know Christ, and you do admit you're lost. And as you stand there, you do believe that Jesus is who He says He is. Would you do one more thing? Would you just confess? Would you just confess that Jesus Christ can save you? And would you confess your sin to God? The word confess just means to agree with God. Would you just agree with God right there where you stand, right there where you sit? Would you just agree with God that there's sin there and just say, God, forgive me? And ma'am, if you mean that, Jesus will save you. We're going to have an invitation here. And there are going to be people coming to this altar to pray, some already here. And as they begin to move out from upstairs and downstairs, I'm going to ask you, if you want Jesus to step out of heaven in your heart and give you this peace that passes all understanding, to give you the joy, to give you forgiveness of your sins. You're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to ask you just to step out and come and find one of these ministers here at the front and say, I need this Jesus he's been talking about. Would you do that today? But believers, wow, this is for you. What an example. Let's make the devil mad this morning. I pray you'll come to this altar and make a fresh new commitment. I want to pray with you at this altar in just a moment, all of you that come. Father, thank you. Thank you for a mighty army that's here today. Thank you that we can stand firm knowing that our light beats darkness every time. Lord, we want the message of Christ to flow out of our lives. Bless those that come right now, making fresh new commitments, God, from upstairs and from downstairs. Bless them as they come. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You come right now. Stand your feet and you come. Come. That's right. God bless you. From upstairs, you come. Come on. Come. Stand with me here at this front. Make a commitment. A core value. We will share the message of Christ. That's right. God bless you. Come. 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 Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All over. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Yes. Yes. And where you are, make that commitment fresh. Make it fresh right where you stand. God, I want to be the answer. I want my light to shine. Pray that. Pray that. Pray for those around that need to come. Some need to come to this altar. Some need the strength of walking forward and making it public. Some need to come and pray about issues in their life. Maybe something standing in the way. You come. Lord, I pray for these here at this altar right now. I pray for them with a special need, the special burden to come and kneel. And God, all across this auditorium, the army's there. There are many saying, yes, Lord, use me, use me, use me for your glory. God, they don't want the devil laughing at them anymore. They are making the little g God mad, no doubt. And God, I pray if there's still someone in this room who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they meet Him. Lord, you touch their life. Even when we close this service out, they could still come and find one of us or find a friend maybe that invited them to come to church and say, I need to know this Jesus. Touch their life. God, as we walk out of this place today, thank you that we are the army of God. Thank you that we have one. Thank you that greater are you that lives in us than he that is in the world. Thank you that you put the very words in our mouth at the very hour we need to speak the glorious good news. Use us for your kingdom's glory. Use us as a mighty army. May Escambia County and every place we go be shaken with the gospel of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name that we pray.